Let us pray. Lord Jesus, let us find in you today a resting place that our hearts may be satisfied. Amen. Well, good morning. We're nearing the end of July, and so I feel it's the perfect time to say that I think summer vacations are overrated. I haven't taken one in 5 years. Now, exactly 1 year ago today, I finished my PhD in theology when I defended my dissertation on the topic of rest in the Bible. So you've got to trust my expert opinion on this one, right? It has nothing to do that I was a broke graduate student with two young children. Nothing at all. It's not related. Because if you are a parent of young children, or were at one point, you know how stressful vacations can be. My family's favorite show is the cartoon Bluey. And in one recent episode titled Relax, the Heeler family goes on a beach vacation. The mom, Chili, is desperate to get to the beach so she can sit down with her book and finally relax. But when the kids are so distracted by every new thing they experience in the hotel room, the dad encourages Chili to go to the beach by herself. So she walks down to the beach, sits down and opens her book, but she cannot enjoy her break. All the while, the kids are having fun in the room, taking a bath and playing games with simple things they find. And when Chili comes back to the room, she says with exhaustion, "I don't know how to relax. It's harder than it looks." I'm sure parents can relate to that experience. And Chili realized her ideal vacation of getting away from her kids was less fulfilling than learning how to relax together. But eventually, if not already this summer, we can find ourselves so tired that we don't know how to find rest. But I want you to know today of Jesus and his compassion for you, precisely at this moment, that he wants to show you how to rest. In our gospel reading today in Mark chapter 6, we see our shepherd's compassion. Specifically in this passage, we see how our shepherd's compassion satisfies his sheep by leading us away from busyness and burnout into a place of rest and abundance. Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while, Jesus says to the disciples. And when Jesus speaks of rest, he is describing a physical and inward experience of God's peace and presence with us. And this rest produces delight, satisfaction in God's good work for us. In our gospel reading last week, Jesus sent the 12 disciples out on a mission to preach the good news, heal the sick, and cast out unclean spirits. And in Mark 6, verse 30, we see the disciples returning to Jesus and telling him all that they had done and taught. In fact, even as they came back to deliver this report, in verse 31, Mark says the demand for their ministry was so high that they didn't even have time to eat. So what does Jesus do? How does he respond to this news? Come away and rest. Just as there seems to be momentum to the Jesus movement, that maybe the disciples have figured it out, Jesus tells them to hit pause. I could imagine they might be a bit frustrated. We need to stay on schedule, Jesus. There's so much left to do. So why does he call them away? Because he has compassion for them. He is concerned about their need for rest, physically and spiritually. Jesus wants them to admit they can't do everything, that the world does not revolve around them. And when they go to the wilderness, Jesus demonstrates that he is the one who provides. It is his accomplishment for us that satisfies. You see, Mark tells us that Jesus has compassion on the crowd, seeing them as sheep without a shepherd. But he demonstrated his compassion first by calling the disciples away from busyness and burnout. How does he do this? Well, first, Jesus withdraws his disciples because they are too busy. They don't even have time to eat. But I don't think this is the first sign of the problem. Look at verse 30. The disciples come to Jesus to tell them all they had done and taught. But weren't they sent to proclaim what Jesus had taught and to follow Jesus' instructions? Could it be that Jesus is pulling them back to rest before they lose sight of who the mission is all about? They were only able to accomplish what they did because of the authority and empowerment they received from Jesus. And too often, in ministry or in our lives, we can get so focused on a task or the mounting demands in front of us that we can't see our own dependence on Jesus. One of the greatest threats to faithfulness and to God's mission in our church today is busyness. Busyness is not the same as getting things done. Busyness is overloading our schedule so we don't have time for prayer and fellowship. Busyness is a symptom of our frantic and frenzied determination to do everything on our own, our hands tightly grasped on the wheel as if we are in control. The Anglican priest and poet George Herbert said it is the pastor's duty to visit the parishioners and remind them to sanctify their daily work with prayer. He says the pastor ought to remind people that they labor anxiously when they overdo it to the loss of their quiet and health, then distrustfully when they doubt God's providence, thinking that their own labor is the cause of their thriving, as if it were their own hands to thrive or not to thrive. In other words, we work anxiously when we overload ourselves without space to rest and pray. We work distrustfully when we think it's all up to us to have what we need. We are sick with hurry in our church and culture today. Some of the busiest people I know are retired. But it affects everyone, regardless of age or occupation. We should never be too busy to pray, and we neglect time with God at our own peril. When I was teaching the past 3 years, the busiest time for my college students was often midterms. So for 2 weeks leading up to that period, I had them keep a journal for their midterm exam, spending 20 minutes a day in silence and prayer. It was seemingly during their busiest time of the semester, but the exercise was richly rewarding for them and noticeably changed their outlook. I tell them, develop habits of prayer and solitude now, and when life gets even busier, you will have a rhythm to be alone with the Lord who is always in control. See, this constant busyness, the being in perpetual motion or avoiding silent reflection, will lead us to burnout, which I'm sure all of us have experienced or may even be experiencing right now. It's one of the greatest public health crises of our time, affecting more than 2/3 of our workforce and leading to treatment for physical and mental illness. And newer research indicates burnout is more dangerous than secondhand smoke. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, our busyness burns us out. And yet we are often caught in a cycle of staying busy because we don't know how to slow down. So how does Jesus lead us away from busyness and burnout? Well, he models for his disciples an unhurried life of prayer and a relationship with God. When we read the Gospels, we notice something peculiar about Jesus. He has an urgent mission, but he is never in a hurry. Mark writes his gospel with a fast pace, often using the phrase immediately to push the events along toward the crucifixion. But Mark notes Jesus praying at pivotal times in his gospel. Prior to calling the disciples, immediately after this miracle of feeding the 5,000, and before his crucifixion. Jesus is modeling for his disciples how essential it is to have a regular rhythm of prayer and rest. The Gospels describe Jesus praying at the start and end of the day, and often going to be alone even if it disrupted his schedule. Yes, Jesus is fully God, but he is fully human. And in his ministry, Jesus models our human need to be dependent on God. And because Jesus lived perfectly in his humanity and was obedient to God's mission, we are adopted through him as God's beloved children. And unfortunately, some of the busiest people in our church are the children. Are we modeling for our children and youth how to dedicate time to silence and prayer? One thing I learned from my college students is that many of their parents had overloaded them with extracurricular activities and multiple sports so that those rhythms ended up taking priority over church. And when my students saw how their parents justified it and chose busyness over dedicated time to the Lord, they decided it must not matter that much. And my students, many of them, had stopped caring about God before showing up to college. But here's another alarming trend. In his recent book, The Anxious Generation, Jonathan Haidt describes how parents today are overprotecting children's physical safety, but then giving them too much freedom with phones and social media. Brothers and sisters, the internet is a wasteland. And if your children have unlimited access to smartphones and social media without discernment and limits, then they are sheep without a shepherd, and they are vulnerable to psychological and spiritual harm. We should not only set limits for them, but model for our children wisdom in how we spend our time. If Jesus desired and needed time alone with the Father, how much more life-giving is that for us and for our families? The Lord gives us opportunities to serve him, but he also invites us to rest and delight in his good work for us. Now, this is an important reminder for your clergy. We are under-shepherds of the Good Shepherd. And if we are too busy to follow him to the quiet place by still waters, then where are we leading you? And for us all, if we are not obedient in pausing for rest, to be restored in the quiet place, then do we see the Lord as our good shepherd or a slave master? We are the sheep of his hand, adopted as his sons and daughters, and he wants to give us life-renewing rest if only we will trust him. And so we see our good shepherd in this passage, leading us to a place of rest and abundance. When Jesus and his disciples arrive to the wilderness, thousands of people are waiting for them. I don't know how they were tracking Jesus without social media, but somehow they all got there first. So much for that time to rest, right? But Jesus has compassion on the crowd, sheep without a shepherd. Hopefully, you already know how dumb and aimless sheep are, so I don't have to talk about it. But wait, here's a clip. Right back in the ditch. Sheep without a shepherd can't feed themselves. They are anxious and don't know where to go for safety. And just as he's calling the disciples away to remind them of their dependence on God, he sees that same need in the crowd. Now, throughout this sermon, I've been saying wilderness, even though our ESV translation says desolate place. Well, the word for desolate is literally desert, and it's the same word the New Testament uses to reflect on the Old Testament's account of Israel spending 40 years in the wilderness. It's also the word Mark uses to describe Jesus' own temptation in the wilderness. And what happens in the wilderness? Well, it's where God richly provides for his people and blesses them with his presence. In the wilderness, God reveals his commandments and feeds his people with manna from heaven. And here in Mark, Jesus feeds his people with his teaching and an abundance of bread. Jesus is revealing himself to be that same God. The people were satisfied physically and spiritually. Jesus began first, Mark says, by teaching them many things until it was very late. But then he miraculously feeds them bread and fish from a small amount. But I want you to see that in both ways he is feeding them. God's word is our nourishment. We feed on Scripture, and that is key to our time alone with God in prayer. Going to a place of silence and solitude is often the first step to hear from God. So embrace the stillness, even when it's inconvenient. But God also provides for our physical needs because all that we have comes from him. And Jesus doesn't let his sheep go hungry. Notice that immediately after the disciples complain about being in the wilderness, Jesus sits the people down on green grass. Where does that come from? Green grass in the desert? Well, Mark notes this surprising detail, I believe, because it should remind us of Psalm 23. For both groups of people, the disciples and the crowd, Jesus shows himself to be the good shepherd, the one who makes us lie down in green pastures, who leads us to the quiet place by still waters. In him we shall not want. Our cup overflows. And at the end of the passage, the people are satisfied. He restores my soul. When we refuse to trust in God, to surrender our time to him, when we stay busy and work anxiously thinking we are in control, that's when we become a desolate place, a desert in our souls. But when the Lord beckons us, come away with me and rest a while, then in that place of solitude and stillness, our good shepherd will lead you to the green pastures to fill you with his word and bountiful provision so that you shall not want. In rest, we experience a satisfaction in God and his good work for us. Now, here's a few things you can do to practice this rhythm of rest starting today. I mentioned how valuable 20 minutes a day was for my college students. And that should be a starting point for us for Bible reading and prayer on a daily basis. Now, aim for 20 minutes alone and grow from there. Commit to it at the first opportunity during the day, waking up a bit earlier if you need to. If you have children, switching responsibilities with your spouse. Here's another one. Set screen time limits on your smartphones. I can guarantee one reason most of us are so busy and overloaded is because we are distracted. Is your phone the first and last thing you look at every day? Do you pass up opportunities to be alone and in silence by grabbing your phone and scrolling endlessly? Be still and know that I am God. Elijah hears God in the whisper. In our distraction and discomfort with silence, are we tuning out God's voice and direction? On my iPhone, I can track my screen time, and when I notice I'm spending too much time on a particular app, like Facebook, I set a daily limit, like at 10 minutes. I promise it's good for you. If you set a limit, I guarantee you will save 20 minutes out of your day to follow the first step. You know, last week I got down to 2 hours a day on my phone, which was pretty good for me personally, and so I had the extra time to read the Bible. And finally, worship and rest on the Lord's day. Make it a priority for you and for your children. And if you're on a summer vacation, go to church there. You see, when we gather to worship on Sundays, we respond to Jesus inviting us to come and rest a while. We step out of the frenzied patterns of our culture into a sanctifying rhythm of grace. We are fed with his word and sacrament. And Jesus invites us today to his table, where he feeds us because of what he has accomplished once and for all on the cross for our salvation. And with our hearts fixed on the risen and exalted Jesus, we rest in his finished work. Rest is harder than it looks. But will you respond to our shepherd's compassionate invitation to follow him to the wilderness and rest? Because it is in the place of stillness and solitude, sitting at Jesus' feet, that we find only our Lord and God can satisfy us with abundance. Amen.